pointing out that God is making a new creation people who are united to Christ by faith. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and to be united to Him is to have certain results and certain fruits. And we've looked at some of the exhortations that Paul gives us. And there are three that come rapid fire in a series. And we'll look at the third and, in a sense, the climactic one, the broadest one. The first one was, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The second one was, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And now we come to verse 17 this morning. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let us pray. Father, as we ponder now these challenging, rich words, would you illuminate us? Would you give us hunger for your word to believe and to practice? Help me to speak clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One way of looking at Palm Sunday is to say that it was a confusion over what the Lordship of Christ meant. It's well known that there were differing expectations of Messiah. For many, he would be a great warrior, and Jesus certainly disappointed their expectations in that sense. It's also true that their cry of Hosanna was somewhat ambiguous, was it not? It was a moment of joy, perhaps a moment of clarity. Perhaps some in the crowd were welcoming Christ as we ought to do. And yet others clearly were not, for within days, even within hours, the popular opinion, if you'd say, began to turn against Jesus. And many of those who cried Hosanna on Sunday were welcoming his death by the end of the week. Confusion over lordship. Does that sound familiar to anyone else? I think we live in very similar times. And I don't like to use the word desperately in an over-dramatic way, but I would use that this morning to say that I believe the church is desperately in need of re-education about what the lordship of Christ means. Consider just our selective vocabulary. We love the words grace, forgiveness, and freedom. We don't like words like sin, righteousness, law, duty, or sacrifice. It's not so much the words we use. Grace, forgiveness, and freedom are wonderful words. May they be on our hearts as well as on our lips. It's the words we don't use that give us away, I think. In the days of the great sailing ships, the sailing clippers and the sailing ships, they were designed to cut through the waters as rapidly as they possibly could. Full sails, wind into the sails. The problem would come when there were contrary winds or storm or high seas, and for that purpose, the captains would put ballast in the holds of those ships, lead, sand, gravel, something heavy, so that when the storm hit, the ship wouldn't capsize. It would keep it more steady in the water. I was asking someone this morning if they still use ballast, even though we don't have sailing ships, and he said, oh yeah, we still ballast ships on the Great Lakes, great cargo ships. Why am I talking about this? Because I think the church today is unballasted. That's what I think. We love the idea of grace filling our sails and slipping through the waters on a sunny day. But you see, we're not prepared for storms. We're not prepared for persecution. We're not prepared for the pressure of the world. And we need ballast for that. Ballast like righteousness, and holiness, and law, and duty, and sacrifice. And all of those ideas are summarized in the statement that Jesus is Lord. He doesn't come simply to forgive our sins. He comes to rule our lives. And all of this to introduce this great statement in chapter 3, verse 17 of Colossians. Because this, in a concentrated few words, is re-education in what lordship means. The backstory of this verse, the heart of this verse, is a reminder that believers bear the name of Jesus Christ. Hear the words again. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't quite think of another verse that's quite that comprehensive. You talk about a worldview. You talk about taking everything into account. 1 Corinthians 10:31 comes close. Do everything to the glory of God. But here, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the heart of this is that believers bear the name of Jesus, and His name is Lord, ruler, king, authority in our lives. Bearing the name of Jesus Christ is deeply rooted in our Bibles from the very beginning. And let me remind you of the passage that is often used as a blessing, known as the Aaronic blessing, Aaron and the priests, who would say to the people of Israel, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Now listen to how God summarizes that blessing. "So they shall put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." How do we summarize, how do we describe who the Old Testament people of God were? They were people who bore, who carried the name of God. They were a people upon whose name God was placed. And so it is as we come into the New Testament. You say, well, how do we bear the name of Jesus Christ today? We bear the name of Christ in our baptism. In fact, not just the name of Christ, but the name of the Holy Trinity. We are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I've said it dozens of times. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One of the members of our church sent a very encouraging email to Son Brent in the light of the recent breaking of his engagement. And many of you have asked, "Brent's doing very well by God's grace." He said, "Dad, I think the Lord is using this to revive my soul." God works in mysterious ways, does He not? Brent's doing okay, but keep praying for him. But the note was passed on to me so I could forward it on to Brent. And the words were to this effect: "Brent, remember your baptism. God will never break His engagement with you." Great statement. That's what baptism is. It's God's engagement to be our God. And we bear His name. And what is discipleship to Jesus Christ? He calls us to embrace the worth and excellence of His name. And Jesus says this in such incredible ways. Let me give you a couple of examples, a couple of reminders from the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, He's describing the life of discipleship, and He says this: "You will be hated by all for My name's sake." Why would the disciples be hated by the world? For His name's sake. Because the world hates the name of Christ, those who bear the name will be hated. But what's amazing is, sometimes a leader, like a president, will call upon people to make a sacrifice. But when presidents do that, they tend to apologize for it. They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to make some sacrifices." But they'll only be short term, and the long term gain will be amazing. Jesus never even hints that He's apologizing for this. He never says, I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but you are going to be hated for My name's sake." What's the point of that? His point is, My name is worth it. Without apology, our Lord is saying, I'm worth it. You're going to suffer a lot for My name's sake if you take Me seriously, and you know what? I'm worth it. for my name's sake. Another example. We could give lots of examples. I'll just give one more. Matthew 19, verse 29. Jesus is again talking about the cost of discipleship, and he's responding to one of the disciples who's talked about how much they've given up to follow him. Jesus says this: "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life." Not a whisper of apology. Your discipleship may cost you your earthly father, he's saying, or your earthly mother in some way, because there may be a division for the sake of the gospel. It may cost you children. It may cost you family. It may cost you lands. But you know what? Jesus is saying, I am worth it. I am worth any sacrifice that you make. That is the worth and excellence of Jesus' name. Can you imagine anybody else saying that? If I said that to you, if I said to you, I'm calling the church to do such and such, and you know what? I'm worth it. Whatever sacrifice you have to make to fulfill my vision, I'm worth it. You'd think I was crazy. You'd want me out of here. You'd say, his ego has gone to his head. Get me out of here. And you'd be right to say that. Jesus, not a word of apology. You will suffer for my name's sake. You must make sacrifices, and I'm worth it. And I'm not apologizing. You bear the name of the Holy Trinity. Because of this, and these are just, this is so rich. I could go on and on about this, but I won't. The heart of this text is that believers bear the name of Jesus Christ. So what? The so what is, therefore, there is not a single unimportant area of your life. There is not one thing in your life that is unimportant, that is unrelated to discipleship. Not a single minute, not a single corner, not a single word, not a single thought. Every single thing in your life matters. Listen, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul, I don't suppose, had people in his day, maybe he did, I don't know, but probably didn't have people misusing that word whatever like they do today. Don't you get sick of it? You know, I don't really have an opinion about anything. Whatever. You know, and even when it comes to beliefs, it's like, whatever. You know, whatever you believe, I hate that. Notice how Paul redeems the word whatever. His whatever is not the whatever. Whatever you want to do is good. You know, we're all under grace. Whatever. That's not his whatever. It's whatever you do is significant. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it for his glory. Now, you can read your Bible and you can see obvious examples of doing things in the name of the Lord. Things like ministry. You can read your Bibles and see people preaching in the name of the Lord. You can see people ministering, serving, providing food and clothing. You can find all sorts of things, teaching, that we would call ministry that we do in the name of the Lord. And I hope we would appreciate that, and I hope we would say, yes, very definitely, we want to do those things in the name of the Lord. Absolutely. But what I want to say to you, what I want to emphasize this morning is, when God's Word says everything, it means everything. And it doesn't just mean, in some narrow sense, what we would call ministry. He means everything in your life. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example that supports that I think Paul is thinking this way. Look down at verse 23 of chapter 3. There's the whatever again. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Now, who is he talking to at that point? Is he talking to people that are doing some kind of ministry? Is he talking to people that we would think of some sense obviously ministerial or important? Back up to verse 22. Who's he talking to? He's talking to slaves. He's talking to slaves. Now, we may want to have a discussion about the biblical view of slavery and why that's going on, but that's not our purpose this morning. He's talking to slaves. Now, do you suppose that slaves had some menial things to do? Do you suppose slaves had some mundane things to do? Do you suppose slaves had some everyday things to do that we might not want to do? Or maybe we do the same things, but we're just not called slaves anymore. Could be same kind of things. Whatever you do, even if the world considers it mundane or menial or unimportant, doing the dishes, cleaning the house, changing diapers, mowing the lawn, taking out the garbage, paying your bills, washing your car, thinking your thoughts, spending your vacation. Is there anything that doesn't come under that? Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. There's no unimportant aspect of your life. There's no secular area of your life. There's no, we'll come on Sunday and we'll be spiritual, and that's my spiritual part of the week, and the rest of the week is pretty much up to me and my wisdom and my wits. No. God claims every day, 24/7, He's our Lord. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, discipleship means deliberately speaking and acting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's not speaking about this as though it were automatic. He's saying it's something we have to think about. It's something we have to do. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, be intentional about this. Be deliberate about this. And to be even a little more practical, on the negative side, this means there are some things we won't do. Does it not? I mean, there are certain things we simply cannot do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you thinking about, Pastor? Well, we can't steal in Jesus' name. We can't commit adultery in His name. We can't lie in His name. We can't covet in His name. So right off the bat, it's going to tell us some things we can't do in His name. It will govern our lives ethically. But in the positive sense, the many other things that we can and must do, ministries and mundane things, we're to do them in a way that honors His name. I recently had the privilege of being at a birthday party and hearing a husband say to his wife, birthday for his wife, saying, "Thank you for taking my name, and thank you for the many fine things that you have done in my name." That was a very moving thing to hear a husband say to his wife. And I think I heard an echo in that of what the Lord Himself will say to His people on the last day. When He says to those who have taken a command like this seriously, and however imperfectly we've done it, striving to do what we do in the name of the Lord, when our Lord will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've had my name upon you, and you've sought to bring me glory. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant." My final point this morning, because I don't want to leave this as though somehow this is all some sort of grim, determined duty that we have, though I would say it's a serious and weighty duty. It is a kind of ballast. But there should be a lightness and a joy about this. There should be a lightness, a joy, a delight about it. And that's the final phrase of our text. Paul doesn't say, whatever you do, do with grim determination. I mean, we've been in New England a while, right? So we can do that. We can do the grim determination. I said to the Bible study the other day, I can do the grim determination thing, kind of on my own strength, and that's not so good. But notice what Paul says. Do what you do, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What he's saying is all of our life should be a thank offering. Every word, every deed, should be a thank offering. Are we going to fall short? You bet we are. Do I fall short? You bet I do. Do I come close in a sense? No, don't really come close. But I know what the goal is. I know where my heart ought to be. I know where your heart ought to be. Every word and deed offered up as a thank offering to God the Father. And this is no, and I'm sure you know this, this is no trivial little theme in the Scriptures. Let me give you one other comprehensive, grand verse to anchor this point. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. And you see, here these three exhortations. I've preached on them separately. I said I could have preached on them together. But here they come to fruition. You see, here's the peace of God ruling in our lives. Here's the Word of God dwelling in us richly, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You see that? Let us offer to God continually a sacrifice of praise. Bearing His name means turning every word and deed into a thank offering to God. Like I said, I can't really think of a more comprehensive verse than this. Some people like to have a life verse. I don't think I necessarily have a life verse, but this isn't a bad one here. If you want one for a motto, if you want one for a theme, if you want one that's both grand and comprehensive and one that's as practical and daily as it gets, this is a great one. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Living that will make our cries of Hosanna meaningful and not hypocritical. May it be so. Amen. Like us, if we could respond at this point to the word by singing Glory Be to the Father, and we'll come to the Lord's Supper. If you'd please rise, let us sing Glory Be to the Father.